The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Do not be alarmed. Do not adjust your radio set. I don't know what's happening. Neither does my producer. So don't adjust your television set, ladies and gentlemen. It's true. I'm black. We ain't really sure what's going on with my theme music this morning, but for whatever it's worth, I mean, that was some jazzy instrumental, I guess, prelude to my theme song, I guess. Hopefully you enjoyed that just as much. I'm not really sure what happened just now, but hey. You know, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Isn't that wonderful? That's beautiful. So, you know, we've been talking about mental health, right? And, you know, you all continue to say that black man and children don't go together and that black man don't like taking care of children and that black man, this thing, that thing, the next thing, da-da-da-da-da, right? But I'll tell you what's going to be interesting this morning. Today, right, I am a black man that is the father of little children. And I'm joined in the studio today by another black man who is the father of a child that is autistic. And we're going to talk about that, right? We're going to talk about how that journey has been. What are some of the... This is Autism Month. And for those of you that are unaware, you are now aware it is Autism Month. So you can kind of... You know, you use your cell phones for everything. You know, porn and entertainment. But you could use it for so much more. Like, you could Google what are some of the things that Autism Month has in store. I think they have a theme this month. What is it? What is the theme they're going with this month? Is it something blue? I'm going to get it. I promise you.
Light it up blue.
That's what it is. And so go ahead and Google. You know, Google all of the fun facts about autism. And by fun, I mean, you know, just readily available facts and things that people do know, can know, what you can do to help, how you can make the journey through autism a little bit better, what are some of the things you ought to anticipate from people with autism, so that you are doing your part to make the world a better place, right? And that is kind of what we're going to talk about today. You know, yesterday I talked about the fact that we weren't doing enough to ensure that we treated people with mental issues sufficiently. We didn't do all that we could, in my estimation, to ensure that we knew, in fact, what exactly was going on with the people in and around our society, the people that we see every day among us that you know, kind of have become a part of our life's tapestry, right? They've become a part of our life's topography. They've become a part of the goings-on of our everyday commute. And we pretend as though we don't see them. As a matter of fact, yesterday I drove around just to make sure that they were all still there. The guy is still underneath the almond tree over there at the Clarence ABN building site. The young man and the older lady are still at the site at the corner of Prince William and Blue Hill Road. So that's Blue Hill and Cowpen. And they're still among us. And the man has removed himself from the corner of Gladstone Road and Carmichael Road, but he's been succeeded by a woman who was walking naked in the road yesterday and spitting on cars. All right. And that is kind of where we are. There are a lot of challenges that are in and around our society, a lot of things that are happening in and around our society that people who are not having those issues to deal with, people who are not having those experiences to deal with, kind of never really take into consideration. And so I'm going to spend some time this week. I tell you, tomorrow I'm talking about the price drug use or the price of entertainment on the entertainer. I'm going to do that and how that kind of opens the window for the abuse of drugs and the abuse of substances and the abuse of the entertainer himself, right? So we're going to talk about that tomorrow. But today, we're talking autism. And I have with me the father of a six-year-old autistic boy child, Mr. Ryan Hulbert. He's my guest this morning. As we talk all things autism, I'm going to open the lines because I imagine there's a whole lot of people out there that have these children, these people in their lives that there isn't a lot of information known about. But as the world evolves, the information is becoming more known, more readily available. And I'm sure in the 70s and in the 60s, you all grew up with children that suffered from autism and just didn't know what to call it, right? For a long time, we kind of very callously lumped everything into the bin of either people were just retarded or not retarded. And as you move throughout life, you learn that there are things like ADHD. I know somebody that I'm sure suffers from ADHD. She's a wonderful human being, a perfectly functioning adult, but she has the attention span of a goldfish. And I tell her this all the time. And when you say these things, right, they chuckle. But the truth is, you should really go and have yourself assessed just to make sure that, you know, that you check out on all of the Richters and all of the, you know, all of the measurement scales that they have, just to ensure that you are not, you know, unaware of your prepositions or dispositions in life. All right, so Ryan Hulbert is my guest this morning. My telephone numbers are 323-6232-3254-316-3254-259. And we're talking autism this morning. We're lighting it up blue because we want to make sure that we are bringing as much familiarization to some of the symptoms of autism. So, Mr. Hulbert, good morning.
Morning.
All right, so tell me, you have a six-year-old, you say?
Yeah, he's 6 years old. He just turned 6 this year.
Oh, yeah? When?
February 27th.
Man, he beat me. Man, my 6-year-old just turned 6 on the 9th of April.
Ah.
Yeah. If I'd started a little earlier.
Well, you know.
Okay. So he's 6 years old, and I can tell you as the father of a 6-year-old that this first 6 years has been a journey that I couldn't even, like, imagine. If someone had asked me what would it feel like to parent for 6 years, I couldn't explain what I'm explaining now or experiencing now. Yeah. Has that been your experience?
Yeah. It's nowhere near what you expect or what you would think it would be.
Okay. Now, my son, for as far as I am aware, is on all of the scales a fully functioning child.
Yeah.
Your son, however, is a child that is an autistic child.
Yeah. He's on the higher end of the spectrum.
Okay.
But he's echolalic, which basically means that it took him, I basically tell 4 mm-hmm. to start talking.
Okay.
And that was with early intervention and speech therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, the words are coming in, but he'll repeat a lot more than answer.
Mm.
So if you ask him something, if you say, Jaten, how are you doing? Basic mm-hmm. questions, he's starting to learn how to answer those.
Okay.
But just phrases and everything, he'll repeat that more readily than actually give you a response.
But he did talk.
He said one particular word,
mm-hmm.
which was dada,
mm-hmm.
every child's first word.
Sure.
Lost all excitement after I learned that.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it was just basically babbling.
Okay.
That's what it was. It wasn't any phrases. It wasn't a combination of words. None of the typical things that you look for in development. It was mm-hmm. just basically, if he'd hear a sound, he'd constantly repeat the sound. He'd constantly repeat the word. And
okay.
That would be it.
What about musicals? Like, what about, because I have 2 sons, right?
Okay.
My oldest son was talking by the time as he was 2, maybe 2.5. Like, literally, I have videos of him talking and singing. And my second son, not so much. And I'll tell you, I think it's partially my fault, right? So I came up with this wonderful little idea that I would try to teach him 2 languages from birth, right? So, like, I spent his whole life so far introducing him to both languages, right? And I think he kind of gets tripped up there. And so his first words wasn't dada, it was something in Creole, right? So I didn't even get the excitement of that. But I found that his speech has retarded a bit. Like, he doesn't talk anywhere near as much as my first son.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, when you say that his speech wasn't coming into, like, when did you discover it? Because my baby, he sings every single, like, he doesn't talk very much, but he can sing every one of the songs on the TV.
With Jatan, I can't take credit for that part. Mm-hmm. I, like most fathers, mm-hmm. you know, you just want your child to grow up to be a normal.
You want him to be strong.
Yeah.
You know, like Beauty and the Beast. So I want to have strapping boys like me.
A little bit in denial. Mm-hmm. And his mom was more like, no. She believes that there's something wrong with his speech because it's not coming in the way it's supposed to. He's only repeating one word consistently. So went to do different tests to get it done, just to find out what was going on with his speech. Mm-hmm. And through finding out what was going on with his speech, we got more or less a confirmation about the fact that he was autistic because he was displaying other signs as well.
Okay.
But that journey, like I said, he basically 4 years, that's when you really could understand what he was saying. Mm-hmm. As far as singing, it's funny because he won't talk, mm-hmm. like, clearly to you beyond a few sentences. Mm-hmm. But songs and words, like musicals, he can repeat them like that.
Verbatim,
like
there's
nothing.
Okay.
Like, we had a joke, God Rest the Dead, but one of his favorite songs growing up when he was 2 was DMX.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Stop.
I wonder where you got that from.
Yeah. But he could actually sing the chorus part of it. But mm-hmm. then when you go outside of singing the mm-hmm. songs or mm-hmm. singing musicals that he would have grown up watching, he is at a loss.
Okay.
So it just was it was trying to figure out things to make him take the initiative to want to talk, mm-hmm. like his speech therapist would tell us. Because he's an independent child, mm-hmm. he had a tendency where most children would point if they want something, he'd just go and get it.
Okay.
Which kind of defeated the purpose of him needing to talk.
Okay.
So with that, it made it a lot more difficult. So then it became, okay, hide things that you know he's going to want and force him to ask you for it.
Okay.
Force him to actually get the words out, because the longer it takes for him to say it or to realize that he needs to say it, the more difficult it's going to become to get him to start speaking. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of creativity, I could say, to get that done. A lot of creativity and a lot of patience.
Now, okay, so again, like you said, you're a father. I'm a father. I don't ever really consider mental development of my child, right? Like,
no.
Like, please forgive me. I'm a buffoon. All I want them to do is be strong enough to beat 1,000 men. That's what I want from them,
pretty
right?
much.
I want them to be able to run faster than everybody and be stronger than everybody and be able to do backflips off the top of the roof. That is what I want from my boys, right? So I get it. As a daddy, you don't really check on whether or not their speech development is in place. You don't really check where the motor skills are in place. But when, as a father, you realize that, okay, maybe social development skills or verbal development skills isn't in place. Like, does it affect movement ability? Because you can have a very active child.
It depends, because it's not really a scale to say 1 to 100. Mm-hmm. It's more of a spectrum.
Okay.
So you have children that would be affected in different areas, mm-hmm. and they'll all coincide with different severities.
Okay.
Whereas Jatan might be high functioning. You have some kids that are medium functioning, mm-hmm. and then you have those that are severe.
Okay.
But the best part about it is even those that are severe have learned, especially with technology nowadays, have learned to communicate in ways in which me and you would not even have thought of.
Like,
there's a young lady, I can't remember her name. She doesn't speak, mm-hmm. but she learned how to communicate to her parents and everyone around her just through blinking. Mm-hmm. So it was almost like Morse code through blinking.
Okay.
And so in that aspect, her mobility obviously is affected because she can't walk and move her arms and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. she's still able to communicate in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. Now, with them, their brain doesn't process things the way yours and mine's would.
Sure.
That's on a most people look at it as, oh, that's going to be a horrible thing. I look at it as it's a beautiful thing. It's a gift. Mm-hmm. Imagine your 9-month-old in the crib decides that, okay, instead of climbing out of the crib to get the remote off the bed, mm-hmm. what he's going to do is use the sheet on the bed, pull the crib closer, and then use the top sheet to pull the remote to him. Mm-hmm. As a grown adult,
that's creative genius.
Won't think of that.
Right.
But my 9-month-old was doing that.
Right.
He was like, okay, that's too much work. Let me just pull the sheet and I could get the remote to me so I could change the channel.
Okay.
There you go.
Mm. Okay, so now I see you have here some of the signs of autism or some of the things that people ought to look out for. And the list is pretty extensive because it says that if there's no babbling by the age of 12 months,
yeah,
no smiles or joyful expressions by 6 months, no respond to name by 10 or 12 months,
yes,
avoids eye contact. Right.
Those two coincide. Those are really huge cues.
Yeah.
Because you know, if you call most little children, if the child's sitting right next to you, they'll at least look up at you just mm-hmm. to acknowledge that I hear you calling me.
So you're saying that the thing old people used to say when they say, "Boy, one thing, but this child now he's play hard of hearing."
Exactly.
He might actually be autistic.
And I think that's what kind of helped with my denial process mm-hmm. was listening to having those old sayings in your mind, having those thoughts of, okay, mm-hmm. he just pretended like he don't check for nobody now.
Boy, this is sometimes you baby.
Or he learned how to ignore good. He did that from me, daddy.
Yeah.
Like, and then you realize that, no, I'm looking at him now and right. calling him. And he's still not looking at me. He's still not responding. He's not giving me any gesture to say, I understand that you're calling me.
Mm.
And that's when it started to really start to click in my head. And I started, like, 12 o'clock in the night while everybody's sleeping, starting to look up the signs and the symptoms and saying, boy, there might be something to this for real.
Okay. Some of the other signs I see here, they said he may have delayed speech and language skills, repeat words and phrases over and over.
Yeah.
Get upset by minor changes, have obsessive interests. Have you witnessed that one? Yeah, because I mean, children like what they like. Like,
no,
I think all children have a special fascination
and
in something.
And that one's a really interesting one because, you know, if you put a particular toy in front of a child, mm-hmm. if that's one of their favorite toys, they're going to play with that all day.
Mm-hmm.
But for Jatin, it was different. You could put two cars in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the car. It was the wheel on the car.
Okay.
So he didn't care if you gave him a blue truck, a red car, a blue car. He just wanted to spin the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
His fixation wasn't on the car. It was on the wheel.
Okay.
The specific spinning motion of spinning the wheel and watching it go, that's mm-hmm. what he would fixate on. Mm-hmm. Whereas most typical children, they'd actually imagine playing with the car, driving it, and all of that. No, his fixation was just, let me turn the car upside down. And let me watch just let me watch the wheel spin.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
So, okay. I mean, again, because of the society we grew up in, right? Like, Bahamians are very dismissive about a lot of stuff.
Very.
Right? And people would dismiss that and say, boy, at least he must be a mechanic, eh? He must be technical. I don't know. Every time I see this child, he's trying to spin the wheel on the car.
And I can't fault them for that.
Uh-huh.
Because Jatin had a thing where headphones,
okay,
the earbuds, he would take them, and we went through like probably in 3 months, 10 pairs of headphones.
Mm.
And he was just constantly taking them apart. He'd turn it, take it apart. I didn't even know they could come apart in different ways that he had figured out to take them apart. And then as he got older, what we started to realize was he wasn't just taking them apart. One time, I went to go use the headphones. I was like, oh, he ain't get these yet. I can put these on and these can work. He had taken them apart, and they were working, but he had taken them apart, but he had then already had learned how to put it back together.
Mm-hmm.
So for him, it was, oh, I can take it apart. And because I would always put headphones on him so he could listen to music to try and calm him down, I guess he started to realize that sound comes out of this.
Mm-hmm.
So let me put this back together. And now I can listen to it, but I still need to know what's on the inside of this, though,
mm-hmm.
as a curiosity.
Mm. So some of it isn't just boys being boys. Because I think particularly with boys, we simply write off a lot of things as, he's being a boy.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very, very much so.
Okay, let's check a couple more other things. Some other things on this list. They have trouble understanding other people's feelings or talking about their own feelings. Yeah. I imagine this is when they get a bit older.
Actually, no.
I know some adults that may be suffering from that, actually.
No.
Yeah?
You have a lot of autistic children right now, as young as 2-3, whereas most children can pick up on mommy or daddy's upset.
Mm.
They're not going to pick up on that just like that. They're still going to be in that world of thinking that whatever I do is okay, in the sense that they haven't realized that the societal cues or the emotions that you're displaying convey a certain message.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just adults. It's also when they're very small,
mm-hmm.
it's a little bit difficult for them to pick up on it. Now, I will say with Jatan, he does seem to be a bit intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
If you aren't actually saying you're feeling bad, but you know something's weighing on your mind, he has a way of picking up on your body language or something about you doesn't seem right, and he'll come and show you some form of affection.
Sure. All right. So they have here, gives unrelated answers to questions, right? But I mean, again, a lot of this stuff is difficult. How difficult is it to detect? You said, when did you detect autism in your child?
Like I said, wife just, she was like leaning towards it from, he was probably, let's say, 10, 11 months.
Mm-hmm.
And me, after realizing that he was doing a few of the signs and symptoms that I had looked up and researched, like walking on his tippy toes and things of that nature, started to realize, okay, there might be something more here than just he has a speech delay.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say...
And you didn't wipe his mouth with a dishcloth, that didn't...
No. He didn't get that.
I'm talking about, old people tell you the craziest thing.
We actually did try
the baby
that.
Don't talk, wipe him over with a dish towel.
I think someone tried that. And it didn't
just
work.
Wipe him over the dish towel a couple of times, or he can stop talking.
No, the person who did it, I think, if I remember correctly, they got bitten after that.
Yeah,
like he bit them, so it was like, no, don't do that to me.
Yeah, so somebody, I mean, this here says that they does not play or pretend games by 18 months.
Yeah.
Limited gestures such as pointing, showing, reaching, or waving by 12 months. No two-word meaningful phrase by 24 months. Uneven skill development. Tell me a little bit about what does that mean?
Uneven skill development meaning that they'll have a tendency to develop in one section mm-hmm. quicker than the next.
Okay.
So with Jatan, it's more so he had learned how to manipulate things.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's seen you do something, he's figured out how to do it himself, which is a lot scarier than it sounds,
because mm-hmm.
when you have a child that doesn't speak and knows how to open the front door and go outside, is a lot scarier than it sounds.
Right.
But the speaking part wasn't there.
Okay.
So in that regard, he was able to see you do something, try it once or twice, and then figure out how to do it. So long as it didn't take too much fine motor skill work for him to get it done. And even with that, he still found a way to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
But the speech and other things, social interactive behavior, that was not coming in.
Mm.
That was lagging. Like you'd see, you know, you always have children that when they play, they'll play together, and you'll have one child that sits away, or probably because they're thinking to themselves, okay, that child just doesn't want to play with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
With Jatan, he has a lot of cousins on his mom's side, and they're all relatively in the same age. So when he'd see them, he'd go play 2 seconds, and for the rest of the day, he's off by himself in his own world.
Mm.
You'll look at them and be like, oh, he just like playing by himself.
This is a sometimey child.
He's an only child, so we could expect that from him.
Yeah.
No, this was a consistent, any environment, he's going to go play by himself. He's not, he wasn't interested in bothering with other children.
How was he with gadgets though? Like, because I know one of the other interesting things is I watch with my son, like literally he just needs a gadget and he kind of whisks away and please don't bother me. I'm just using my gadget. I don't really want anybody touching me or talking to me.
Initially we were actually trying like 1.5 We were trying to stay away from like having him in the new societal norm where he's just fixated on a tablet. Every time you see a child, they have a tablet or something in their hand. We were trying to keep him away from that. We were trying to get him to be more interactive and everything. Now,
he's such a great daddy. I have to tell you that. Listen, I give my son the tablet.
No, it ain't me.
Here's the tablet. Daddy's going to go and have a daddy soda over in the corner here.
This is mama.
You be on the tablet. Daddy's going to be right here.
I ain't going to lie.
Don't burn the house down.
I ain't going to lie.
Every now and again, I'm going to randomly scream, hey, 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 hey. And, you know.
I will do that, though.
Yeah.
Like, I know my son.
Yeah.
And I know that his attention is only going to be grabbed by the tablet for about maybe 2 minutes. And even while he's watching the tablet, he's not completely engaged in the tablet. He's like up, walking around with the tablet in his hand, doing something else. And then once I stop hearing noise, then it's like, Jatan.
Yeah, I just randomly say, hey. Just, like, I'm not even sure if you're doing anything, but yeah, I just, right. And, hey.
If I hear, still don't hear nothing.
I listen around right, for
time
noise.
To get up. Yeah. Let me go check, see what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you said even when children were around, he wasn't interested in being around children. He wasn't communicative, so he wasn't really saying anything. And then how difficult was it to plot your way through finding him help? Because I imagine as a young daddy, you know, if you're anything like me, by this time I'm probably going crazy trying to figure this thing out. And you know, it's not like there are billboards around this place.
No, there are not.
You know, advertising or telling you or pointing you in the right direction.
I think one of the things that we say in the artistic world is that there's no clear roadmap to success. Like, you literally have to plot that out yourself. You have to go out there, and especially in this country where resources are limited and finite, you really got to push and be an advocate for your child. And through advocacy for your child, it then trickles down to helping out other persons.
Was there like a group or something? Like, is there like a support system?
You have, the first thing we did after we found out about the high possibility of Jatan being autistic was we reached out to Reach.
Okay.
I was trying not to. Anyway, but we reached out to them and they gave us, I wouldn't say a roadmap, but they gave us great assistance in how just feeling like we were a part of a community and you're not out there by yourself. Feeling as if, okay, these are some schools you can go to. These are some therapists. We have meetings for parents where we could come all sing kumbaya, cuss, and talk about the foolishness that our children are doing without feeling judged by other parents.
Right.
And then go back and
I would fit right in with the cussing part.
Yeah, very much so. And go back into society and then take a snippet from this person, take a technique from that person, or give to this person and give to that person and say, hey, this is what this person went through, and this is what I'm going through now, so let me try what they did. Because you have, Reach has a spectrum of parents who have kids that are from their 30s straight down to 2 and 3. So there's a lot of experience in there, and there's a lot of experience when there was no resources to now when there's some, but it's not that much.
As a parent that is battling or is living through autism with a child, what is the costliness of it? Because I think a lot of times that a lot of people aren't aware that if you find out something medical or mentally troubling or bothering you as an adult, it is costly. But to then consider what it must be like as a parent, discovering that a child has something like autism, so he has special needs, discovering that a child has autism, so he's unable to do X, Y, or Z, he needs to be treated by a doctor, he needs to see that doctor, I don't know, once a month, twice a month. Of course, the doctor went to medical school, he didn't do that for free.
Exactly.
So that comes at a cost. How costly does it become for people that are actually on this journey through autism?
I put it in this perspective. There's a saying, autism is a rich man's disease. I know parents that have remortgaged their houses just to be able to afford to get the therapy, just to even go all way, just to get their child evaluated, that have decided that they were, and said, you know what, I may have a prospering career over here, but through that ultimate parent sacrifice, I got to do what I need to do for my child.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to move abroad so that they could get better help for their child.
Do you think there is enough of a support system in the Bahamas?
No.
What do you think is lacking?
Knowledge.
Okay.
People don't know. So when people don't know, people aren't concerned. They're not bothered by it. It's not something that they're going to have on the top of their head. It's not something that's beating on them every day to say, hey, we need to have more therapists in this country to help with this. We need to have more of this. It's not something that's readily known.
Mm-hmm.
Like before I had, before we had Jatan, I think I probably knew one or two persons mm-hmm. that may have had autism, may okay. have known somebody that had autism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that type of thing. But now with Jatan,
mm-hmm.
I can't even count on the amount of people that I either know have it.
Were you shocked to find out that many people had children that were autistic?
Yes. Yes.
Mm. Have you, okay, you look like you grew up in the 90s.
I did.
Okay. And so in the 90s, the word autism didn't exist.
Exactly. Like
we didn't know anybody that was autistic. But do you look around now and realize that, you know, maybe that boy was autistic? Do you look now and think about it?
Every day, actually.
Okay.
Especially when I go to work, every day. And it was funny because after finding out about Jatan, I just was like in a casual conversation with one of my former schoolmates. And he was like, but you know I'm autistic, right?
Mm.
And I'm looking at him like,
no, I never knew.
But yeah, I know that. Right, like, right. How are you supposed to know? Like,
right.
And then it goes to show you like, what is that? I wonder who else mm-hmm. I may have gone to school or came into contact with was autistic and you really don't know. Because the number one thing, an issue that we face in this country is not just lack of knowledge about it, but the unwillingness of parents to go out and get their children evaluated.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have a lot of parents that will go with the stereotypical Bahamian saying, but ain't nothing wrong with my child. Oh, they just in a phase.
It's because nobody wants anything to ever be wrong with their child.
Which is true.
Like everybody wants their child to be born a Spartan god. That would be all hope, right? And the truth is, you know, you have to consider the fact that for whatever it is worth, the world is changing. It is becoming an interesting place. People are being exposed to things that they cannot even explain. I mean, people are developing lung cancer and have never smoked a cigarette or a cigar or anything in their lives. People are being born with brain issues. And they just can't explain these things, right? So, I mean, I don't think autism is one of those things that you ought to have any kind of a stigma about. But I guess I understand parents, because of our own selfish desires to want children that are superhumans, we kind of shy away from the idea.
But you know what the best part about it is that I've learned? Autistic children are like superhumans.
Okay.
In the aspect of most savants are autistic.
Mm-hmm.
Albert Einstein was autistic.
Mm-hmm.
Most mathematicians were autistic. Most artists are autistic.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense once you're in the world of autism. It makes sense why these persons were the way they were, where they were so fixated on whatever it is that they took an interest in.
Mm-hmm.
You realize that it makes sense. I was told to watch a movie the other day called The Accountant.
Mm-hmm.
And in the movie, the little boy was so fixated on finishing whatever he started that a puzzle piece dropped. And he couldn't find the puzzle piece. It was sitting on the floor behind the table leg, mm-hmm. but he couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
Little girl walks up, gives him the puzzle piece. He's having a complete and utter breakdown. And for me as a parent going through that,
mm-hmm.
or have seen it and have been through it, I was like, that's exactly what happens. And when she gave him the puzzle piece, he finished the puzzle. The crazy part about that was the puzzle was up, was backside forward. So he was actually finishing the puzzle from the back.
Mm.
He was not looking at the picture of the puzzle. He was just basically finishing it based on the pieces. And when they flipped it over, it was a picture of Muhammad Ali.
Mm.
And the metaphor for that for me was that it's a gift if you look at it as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take away the stigma from it and realize that my son, Jatan, at 3 years old, went by my grandfather who had a keyboard sitting there. Never played, never been by an instrument in his life. the second I cut that keyboard on, the time went to the keyboard without any propositioning, nothing. He just went to it and he just started playing.
Mm. Maybe it is a special superpower. Let's see if people want to talk about it. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. You can call me on any one of those numbers. Let me give it to you slowly because you always say I say it too quickly. The numbers at Guardian Radio are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. I've been advised that we've actually had a former prime minister who had an autistic son.
Yes.
When you look around now as a parent that is going through the journey of autism, knowing that we've had a former prime minister who has had a son that is autistic, do you think that there should have been a greater thumbprint nationalistically that would suggest that leadership in our country recognizes autism and may have invested more nationally towards the fight against autism?
Yes.
Are you ever disappointed?
I'm not disappointed because I know the reality of the situation, which is if I can afford to do something, mm-hmm. and I know I can afford to do it, I know the mentality a lot of times is, why am I worrying about Joe Blow who can't afford to do it? So long as I can get it done for me and mine, that's where my head's going to be at. So disappointed, yes. Shocked, no.
Mm.
Do I feel that was an opportunity for something to be put forth to, like you say, leave a greater thumbprint in terms of helping with autism in the country? I can't cuss on the radio, but I'll just say yes.
323-6232. I appreciate you for not cussing on the radio because I have to sit here and not cuss on radio.
Yes.
So you join me in not cussing on the radio. 325-4316, 325-4259. Now, we could cuss about it off air, though.
Yeah, man.
I promise you. Let's take a phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good evening, you and voice along with you and your guest.
Hey, Bremen.
I want to ask the brother, what's his name?
His name? You said, what is his name? Mr. Holbert.
Mr. Holbert.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Holbert.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
All is well, sir. All is well with you?
I'm holding, thank God. Let me ask you a question. Probably two. With the people in which you had met with autistic children, right?
Yes, sir.
You ever found out from them what's the reason for, your son taking things apart or those type of children taking things apart at that age?
Okay, let me see if I understand. What you're asking is if we've ever come to a conclusion in why the child fixates on just taking things apart?
Right.
Realistically, no, actually. Because, I'll speak for my son, I realized that was just his fixation and just trying to find out why it is he took stuff apart.
Curiosity,
yeah,
you would say?
That I guess you could say curiosity. With some children, it's taking it apart because of stimulus. They have sensory issues, so if something's not conducive to the way they would like for it to be sensory-wise, they might try to manipulate it to try to get it to better suit their needs. But then again, that's not something you can go to the child and say, hey, why are you taking this apart? Because with a lot of the children, they're not going to be able to explain that to you.
You know, why I asked that question, right, when you were talking about and taking things apart, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remembered when I was going to school, I was in grade 2, right?
Yes,
class
sir.
2. Class 2, because it was a primary school. And one of my cousins sent, my aunt, of course, sent a camera to the family, right? And me not handling a camera, only seeing camera around. I was, like I said, I was in class 2 at that time. And I opened up the camera to figure out what makes it work. And when I opened the camera, the only thing I saw in it was dark, was darkness. And, so I put it down. And, one of my brother, he took up photographer, Franklin Ferguson. You remember him? You
mm-hmm.
know of him?
Mm-hmm.
And he a master in that. And, I tried to figure out how come I was the first one, used to, play around with the camera, never understood it, what it was all about, and never took up the artistry. Gotcha. So I wondered about myself, but I say I'm not an artistic person, you know?
Well, maybe you should go and have yourself evaluated, Bremen. I mean, you never know. Let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Yes, good morning, Raymond. How are you?
I feel good.
Wonderful, wonderful. And once again, I'm happy belated. Congratulations for the anniversary of Garden Radio.
Thank you.
Autism.
Yes.
I heard you and the gentleman talking just now about being disappointed that more should have been done under the previous administration because there was a son that he had that was autistic.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you think that if he had done more, okay, man, the political backlash that he would have gotten for that, it would have been even more horrible.
I don't disagree with you, Gola.
Because it would have become personal.
What I will say is this, right? And I said this to someone on Friday past at Place X. That sometimes I think Bahamian politicians are so overly concerned with winning the Mr. or Mrs. Congeniality Award, right?
Yes, you're right.
and the thing you must understand about public life is the same people that will sing Hosanna for you are possibly going to be the ones that are asked to have you crucified.
True.
But you've got to be comfortable with that at some point in public life.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
at some point in public life, you have to understand that I'm going to go out here, uh-huh. and the same people that says, "Man, give us him," are going to be the same people that say, "Oh, look at this foolishness he's doing," and they're going to be the ones that give you your licks. But you have to be resolved that what you do as a policymaker, what you do as a leader, as a commander, as someone in public life. Is for the greater good of mankind.
Of course.
And so you must stay the course. And I get it. Yeah. I mean, if you watch the House of Assembly yesterday, you will see that the Prime Minister somehow thought he made some grandiose discovery that they were going to, you know, have an official residence at the Prime Minister.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Every civilized country has one. I don't see what the big whoop was, right? But you notice the way they try to talk about it. They try to talk about it like Christie was going to build this house for himself.
Yes.
Well, at the very least, if he was in voted out of office, one day he would die, and it would no longer be his residence, right?
Exactly.
So let me take you back to autism. So one day, at the very least, Perry Christie would die, and we would no longer have a prime minister that had an autistic child. So it wouldn't be, or the focus wouldn't be on Christie. What would be, though, is a national direction and a national policy towards how do we deal with issues like this. Now, in all fairness, autism is a singular issue in a ream of issues. But as someone that has had this issue to deal with personally, I just assume that, you know, that possibly they would bring to bear more of a policy towards that direction. Yes, what about you, Mr. Wilbert?
Yeah, once again, thank you for having an open mind.
Thank you.
I echo the same thing you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, politicians push agendas for whether or not we want to say it.
Yeah.
Own personal agendas.
All the
right?
time, yeah.
So why not push an agenda that's going to help the masses?
No, I agree. I mean, and besides, so what? So
exactly.
what?
Hey,
if my child is autistic,
and
if
I push an agenda for
if
autism.
I have 10,000 autistic children.
Who
it
cares?
Wouldn't matter. Yeah, it really wouldn't matter. No, I completely agree. Let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you're on. Give us a call back. 323-622-3235-4316-325-4259. You can text me on 4224796. Someone here says, everything this man is saying is exactly the same as my 7-year-old son with ASD. I don't know what ASD is. What is ASD? I don't know what ASD is. Good afternoon. My light was off from Sunday. I live through Cumberbatch Alley. That's about 5 corners away from your grandmother. My grandmother doesn't live anywhere near Cumberbatch Alley. You must be talking about Warren McCartney, I think. My grammy doesn't live anywhere near Cumberbatch Alley, no. Mm-hmm. All right, BC, God, please turn on the people light around me, Cumberbatch Alley. Let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning, Mr. Miller.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Nice that you have one. The question you asked about leaving a bigger thumbprint. No one does anything for anybody who has challenges or differently able.
Okay.
That's not only for autistic people.
Mm-hmm.
I have a physical challenge and I have to make the best of it. No one don't give me no special treatment.
You mind if I ask, what is your specific challenge?
I am afraid to tell you, I had the good fortune of contracting polio.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
And you're saying that there's no support in and around this place for that either.
What special they do for us?
Hmm.
Huh?
So then it sounds
they pass on bill that ain't got no teeth.
So then it sounds to me then like the Bahamas just isn't very good.
Very insensitive to people who are differently able. As if people like them don't exist in their families.
All right. But again, Carla, and I'm just asking. This is just me asking. Do you think it is because, as a young nation with a young society, many of these things that we just didn't know what they were when we were growing up?
That's being an apologist, but that's giving an
excuse. No. I'm asking a question.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you to a certain extent that if you don't know what the problem is, you can't fix it.
Right.
But you can be more sympathetic and apathetic
mm-hmm.
to what persons who are differently able. That's
we agree there, sure.
That's a matter of formation. Like when you're young, what you learn in your family, and of education to a certain extent. But we should get a little bit more helpful. The ones among us who are the weakest should be the ones who get the most help.
And I don't know because I thought about saying the weak as well. I don't know if I want to say or refer to them as the weak. I appreciate your call.
As a metaphor, sir.
Yeah, no, I know. But you know, this is a very interesting world that we live in. So we have to make sure we tailor the English language in a way that doesn't offend. So I get the message though, and the point I'm making is maybe the Bahamas ought to consider doing more. Right? I did a show yesterday. You may not have been aware of it, where I talked about the fact that there are people that we deem vagrants mm-hmm. in our society who are obviously people that are mentally in need of help.
Very much so.
And they're not strangers. You pass them every day. Like, you don't know their names. You don't know their background story. But if I tell you the location, instantly you could picture the face of the person that's just sitting, standing, or laying there. And the truth is... those people need our society's help, just like the autistic child, just like the man that's suffering with polio. These people all need help from those of us in society that do not have the challenge. The question then becomes, how do we sensitize the blame in public to that, to the point that we take a more directed approach towards how we assist people with special needs?
I say you have to start it at young, because if you grow up teaching someone that basically the Bible, you have to be your brother's keeper,
mm-hmm.
and you grow up with that mentality and that mindset, you're going to grow into an adult that's going to look for avenues and ways in which you may not be able to do a lot to assist someone, but you're going to try and find some way to try and help that person.
Mm.
And I think what we have is a society now where growing up, you're taught, okay, don't be like the person on the street. You know, they just on crack, they just on drugs,
mm-hmm.
and they're looked down
and
on.
And that is something that people need help with sometimes.
Exactly. And they're looked down on, and you're just told, like, okay, that's a life lesson. Don't be like that mm-hmm. person. As opposed to being told, okay, learn from that person. But while you're learning from that person, learn how you can assist that person.
Sure.
Learn how to assist those who may be going down the same path as that person, mm-hmm. so that you have less persons like that. And what we now do is we sensitize people to it. The same way we're slowly but surely learning that they're sensitizing young kids to things that
growing that up in... Not, that they ought not be exposed to
exactly.
As children.
Growing up in the 90s, you would never have
yeah.
deemed the normal. It's the same way we can go about doing that.
Yeah. So I somebody asked a question here that's pretty interesting. They said that they noticed that this is prevalent in boys, right?
It is.
And I read something about that during my research for the show, that it is more prevalent in boys. So especially text writer, boys. You are correct, especially black boys.
Especially black
boys. But the same is to be said about ADHD as well, because that also shows up a whole lot in men. I mean, as the father of a boy, I mean, how does that make you feel? When, you know, so much societal pressure is put on boys as they go through this journey towards manhood, knowing that there are 1 in 5 of us that suffer with autism, how does it make you feel as a young black man?
No excuses. Simple as that.
I like
no,
that.
No excuses.
I like that. Let's read another text message here. It says, good morning, Mr. Christie did do something. I can't say exactly what it was. I think he came under the handicap bill through Melanie Griffin. There is the handicap bill that was introduced under the Christie administration. Someone here says, good morning. Please add some attention please add ADD, attention disorder deficit. Yes. I think
that
it is now.
That is part of the spectrum as well.
But it is also now morphed into ADHD, isn't it?
Yes.
And I tell you, I personally know human beings.
You probably know more.
That
multiple.
I am sure have ADD. And I obviously have a disease that is called compulsive... something with compulsive in it, right? Because people that don't pay attention make me want to tear them off the planet, right?
Yeah.
But like literally, it is amazing to see like adults, like, and I'm like, why can you not pay attention to this thing? Like, are you not an adult? But I realized that there are some people that are probably struggling with ADHD.
Yeah.
And we should look into that. We got time for one more call. Let's take one more call, Kermit. Come on in, caller, you're on.
Hey,
what's going on, Papa?
Everything cool. Good morning. Good morning to you guys. I think we need to just keep talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and exposing it. See, I think the problem is that it's a saying, say, the tie goes, at least the loose goat don't know how the tie goat feel.
And the tie goat don't know how the loose goat feel, because at least someone bringing food for the tie goat, the loose goat over there got to go look for food.
Pretty much. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think about it that way, too. And but listen though.
One more thing, Papa. And the dog ain't chasing the tie goat because he in the yard.
And the tie goat ain't able to eat the sheet off the line.
Yeah.
Hey, so until we go into it ourselves, we'll never know how it feels. We need to be more, I don't know if the word is sympathetic, or be more considerate. And see, like, even if your daddy's a prime minister or whatever, or a president or whatever, the bottom line is that one of these days, the parents, we got to leave our children who might be autistic, and we got to make it comfortable for them. See, I think they need to be able to live as independent as possible. Now, as a country, like this gentleman was talking about, us doing more or continue to try to do something, is that we got to make, like build a fund. I don't know if it's just a foundation, but a facility.
Okay, Papa, I got to go. I owe the time, though.
Okay.
Appreciate you, buddy. All right, let me just say this. I'll give you the final 30 seconds. But listen to me. Yesterday was the bishop's birthday. I hear the voice of the prophet. I see you driving around in the car. Hear the voice of the prophet with the stuff. Go get him down by the bishop. The bishop said he about 24 boxes short. I'm talking to you, the young woman driving around with the stuff in the car that you're supposed to take to the bishop. You make sure you drive them to New Covenant today. That's me tapping into the prophetic. You go right now and carry them. Mr. Holbert, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you for coming. And I mean, good luck. Best wishes with your son, man. All right. And make sure you keep us appraised of what's happening with him as he goes through his journey through autism.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. It's beautiful that most times,
yeah,
when I'm not just being a typical parent,
yeah,
but once you step aside, step back, and you say, hey, this is some beautiful stuff, it makes the day go a little bit easier.
I appreciate you for coming. Anyway, you know the voice. It's Levan Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news and smart talk. Woman with the stuff in the car, carry them to the bishop now. Don't move. They've got the news. It's next.